Some of us have been looking anxiously at the arts calendar. We've been kind of looking at the newspaper. We've been wondering what to do every night during this time between Christmas and New Year and the world getting ready to kick into gear. This morning I came into work and there were cars on the street and the world was getting in gear and really facilitating that will be an event at Spokane Civic Theater this weekend, three performances only, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon of Stephen Sondheim's Follies in concert. We get a good taste of that right now, first by going to our studio and hearing Jonah Taylor as the young Ben and Elizabeth Martin as the young Phyllis, along with pianist Henry McNulty as they sing You're Gonna Love Tomorrow.
What will tomorrow bring, the pundits query?
Will it be cheery?
Will it be sad?
Will it be birds in spring or harakiri?
Don't worry, dearie.
Don't worry, lad.
I'll have our future suit your whim, blue chip preferred.
Putting it in a synonym perfects the word. We're in this thing together, aren't you glad?
Each day from now will be the best day you ever gonna love tomorrow. You're gonna be with me. You're gonna love tomorrow. I'm giving you my personal guarantee.
Say toodaloo to sorrow and fare thee well, ennui.
Bye bye.
You're gonna love tomorrow as long as your tomorrow is spent with me.
Today was perfectly perfect, you say. Well, don't go away, 'cause if you think you'd like today, you're gonna love tomorrow. Stick around and see. And if you love tomorrow, then think of how it's gonna be. Tomorrow's what you're gonna have a lifetime of with me.
From the studio, we were hearing this song from Follies, Elizabeth Martin and Jonah Taylor singing You're Gonna Love Tomorrow with Henry McNulty at the piano. Jake Schaefer, the creative director of Spokane Civic Theater. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, Vern. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And you hardly even noticing it's a new year because you've probably been rehearsing for about the last 3 days.
I don't even know where we are.
Yeah, okay. That's a good sign in theater if you're 2 days out from a show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And so, anyway, it's Follies in concert, and we'll describe in a little bit the way you're presenting it. But let's spend time just with the work itself, with the characters involved, and what is Stephen Sondheim's Follies? What's the essence of this show?
The essence is we've all gathered for a reunion at this beloved theater of these various performers 30 years after their productions of Follies, in quotes, closed. And it's a celebration because the building is going to be turned into a parking lot the next day. So this is sort of the final hurrah, if you will. And with the four principals, Ben and Phyllis and Buddy and Sally, we meet their young versions in these various flashback sequences that sort of educate the story and what happened while they were there performing these 30 years ago.
Because the give or take 30 years ago from what this musical was from the mid-80s or something like that, so...
Opened on Broadway in 71.
Oh, that early. Okay, uh-huh. So therefore it really kind of Does it have a taste, the song would imply that, of the late vaudeville?
Absolutely. And Sondheim actually writes, Henry can probably speak much more specifically to this, certainly more eloquently, but he does write or has written a lot about his inspirations in writing Follies. Like Could I Leave You is totally an homage to Ravel. And you can hear it in the orchestrations, which we're really lucky to be presenting this show in this capacity because we've got a 23-piece orchestra on stage.
Yeah, nice. That's the beauty of in concert. So Henry, pick that up where Jake left it about the kind of the musical background of this piece.
Certainly. It's an interesting mix for Sondheim because it not only incorporates some of what he was doing in the 70s, but it also is full of these pastiche numbers that, as Jake was mentioning, each draw on different composers of the era, that the Weisman Follies, which is the show within a show, when it was taking place, who the major composers were. So you were looking at, you know, George Gershwin, definitely you hear him in that.
For sure.
And so it very much puts you in the time and place while still having a more contemporary musical theater feel at times.
Okay. Well, let's bring in the two singers who are just doing this, and that's Jonah Taylor, who is the young Ben. Come on, a little closer to the microphone there, and Elizabeth Martin as the young Phyllis. For both of you, what's it like to transport yourself back to vaudeville from a singing point of view?
Oh, I love it. I mean, for one, and I think it's really cool to have an older version of yourself, per se, in the show that you can sort of just watch the entire time and take things and learn things about who you are and how they're playing the character.
It's a really unique perspective, for sure, because I think we get to live in a moment of their life. You know, we get to live in that moment of their life. And normally, I don't think you get that experience of being able to, you know, see and then have the hindsight so you can really see what's going on and what made the older characters the way they are today.
And in either of you, as singers, as you've been training and growing up, have you sung much music from this era, either of you?
This is my first Stephen Sondheim show, so
mine too, actually.
Well, so then the Sondheim era. What about the 30s and 40s Americana era?
I mean, maybe a couple times.
Yeah. So it is a...
Oh, right, yeah, 42nd Street.
That sure. Was. So it is a wonderful voyage of discovery for you of the background to your art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and your craft, both. Yeah. Okay, that's Elizabeth Martin as the young Phyllis and Jonah Taylor as the young Ben. And then just kind of a technical thing about how the show works. Once you are used in a flashback, is that it for you in the show, or do you haunt them?
Pretty sporadic, so okay. They come in and out throughout the whole show.
So you're not...
You just hit it on the head with a hammer. Haunt them, yes, they do. They're peppered throughout the flashbacks between the young versions of the principals and the ghosts from the theater and from the Weisman Follies. They enter throughout the show at various points.
Since we've lived through a whole lot of Charles Dickens for the last 2 weeks, right. It's kind of like the ghost of theater past.
Seriously, that's enough already.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And so there's the start a starting point for doing Follies in concert. Now let's bring in Henry again, and Jake, and talk a little bit about the overview of the production, the motivation of doing it. I think there's kind of an obvious motivation on one level of in concert, isn't it? Because you can put all of your energy into a very focused part of the art.
That's very true. Ours is a little loosely focused in that it's completely, totally, fully staged and fully costumed. And the reason why we elected to do that is because this is more than likely the first and last time most of these performers and certainly most of the musicians will ever play this book.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not done. It's so huge in scope. The rights are really expensive. It was only ever orchestrated once for the Broadway production. There's no pit version of it.
Mm.
So when you do it, you have to do it.
And it was one of the most expensive shows ever at the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Still, I mean, the 2009 or 11, I can't remember, the most recent Broadway revival that starred Bernadette Peters, it never made its money, although it was a total sellout, just because of how expensive it is.
And so, Henry, talk a little bit about this challenge of putting the orchestra together and making this work, because, as you say, you don't have the classic, unfortunate three-people thing in the pit. You got the whole orchestra, which is wonderful, but has its own set of challenges, right?
That's true. Well, we're lucky enough at Civic to typically have fairly large musical ensembles, particularly for community theater. Mm-hmm. And so many of the players that we have for Follies have also been in our pit ensembles. So all of them know me, I know all of them. Really what we've done is just to fill out the sound a bit with additional musicians to mm-hmm. really give the lushness of the mm-hmm. book. And these are all professional players. So really the process with them has been very easy. Of just a few rehearsals, and they know exactly what to do. And I think they'll be a wonderful backing for our volunteer performers.
It's a thrilling sound, isn't it?
It is. It really is. It's very, very lush, very Ziegfeldian. And that's what so much of this show is about, is that lush Follies spectacle, where even though while this is fully staged, it's not as massively produced as, say, a Broadway iteration would be. We're still going for that same sort of feel, and that's reflected in our having this very expansive orchestra.
And that's I remember thrillingly sitting in the place formerly called the INB, formerly called the Opera House, when the producers came to town. And, of course, Mel Brooks demanded that there be an orchestra there. And it's a feeling and a sound unlike anything that you ever hear otherwise.
I'm sure.
From a pit ensemble. And so I imagine mm-hmm. that it's recreated that. And, well, I've been part of some of the years ago in concert things that have been done at Civic. Was that a little bit of your motivation, too, to not drop that idea, to every now and then just put an orchestra on stage and really deliver the sound of the musical?
Absolutely. Not to mention it's such a great experience for the performers to throw a show up this quickly. All said and done, by the time we open, the majority of the cast will have had 8 rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a specificity that's required when you have that quick of a process that ultimately puts people at their best immediately. And we're really lucky. We have an incredible cast. Mm-hmm. So it all sounds really great, looks wonderful. With the orchestra being on stage, essentially triples your company size. So yeah, visually it's very interesting.
Yeah. Robbie Starnag, come up here, because she's, I presume, one of the incredible cast about which you
she
speak.
She is one of the incredible cast. She's the Phyllis.
How's that for being profiled?
Well, gee, thanks.
Yeah. And so so talk about it from your point of view of doing a show like this, of the in concert and the quick study. Now, are people on book or off book?
Off book.
People are off book, so they
all
have
the
had to memorize it. Okay, so mm-hmm. that's a big deal. So talk about it from your acting and singing point of view.
Well, it has a lot of challenges. You have basically, in a sense, maybe 10 days to put a show together. Mm-hmm. And so we've all been working on our lines and our songs for a couple of months, but we never met together until I think last week. And it was like, we all kind of stood around for a minute, and then everybody talked at once. It was just like that it was magic. Mm-hmm. Challenges, the orchestra comes in, and all of a sudden you hear this big mm-hmm. booming sound. I'm telling you what happened. We had that Sunday, and they hit the first chord, and I burst into tears.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. It's just amazing. Amazing sound. And you're about to sing that song called Who's That Woman? Mm. So how is you, the mature Phyllis, the Phyllis in the present, what are you talking about and what's going on here?
Well, for all of us, all of the mature women in the show, we have our counterparts. And this particular number, it's looking in the mirror. Who is that? Who have I become? Who was I then? The audience will have the opportunity to see both youngs and olds at the same time, kind of moving around each other, and you are thinking just like a normal person thinks. You get up one morning, you look in the mirror and say, where did the time go? Who am I? Who have I become? Who do I have time left? What road did I not take? What road did I take? I mean, and that explains the entire show of Follies. Each song has little bits and pieces of that everybody thinks about what in their maturity.
Mm. Robbie Starnegg, so why don't we send you and our pianist, Henry McNulty, out to sing this song again that we heard earlier from the young Phyllis, and now in the kind of flashback sense, and now here is the Phyllis in the present, sung by Robbie Starnegg, and this song, as she was saying, called Who's That Woman? So let's go back to our studio and hear this.
Who's that woman? I know her well. All decked out, head to toe. She lives life like a carousel. Bow after bow after bow. Nightly, daily, always laughing gaily. Seems I see her everywhere I go. Oh, who's that woman? I know, that woman so clever, but ever so sad. Love, she said, was a fad. The kind of love she couldn't make fun of, she'd have none of. Who's that woman, that cheery, weary woman who's dressing for yet one more spree? Each day I see her pass in my looking glass. Lord, 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 that woman is me. That woman is me. That woman is me.
From our studio, that was Robbie Starnegg as the Phyllis in the present singing that song, Who's That Woman? Elizabeth Martin, I'm going to put you on the spot. Come up to the microphone. It must be kind of a fun, weird thing to have the same person at two different ages as you put this show together. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's so unique, and I think it really couldn't have turned out any better. I think all of us really match our counterparts very well. I love Robbie so much, and honestly, I'm just honored to be able to watch performers like them and just learn so much from what they're doing and incorporate that into what we get to do.
Yeah. And so talk about a little bit about where you are in your own musical theater career.
I'm just doing stuff around as much as I can. I've been really fortunate to be a part of some really cool stuff in the past year. I've been really busy, so that's good, keeping busy. How to meet Robbie? Oh, I met her when we did Hello Dolly in the spring, and she was Dolly, and she's just, I mean, she's a force to be reckoned with. She has more talent in her pinky finger than I think a lot of us have in our whole bodies. She's a costumer. She can tap dance. She can sing. I mean, she's incredible. She's really, really awesome.
And very real.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you yourself, are you out of school, in school?
Yeah, I'm graduated. I'm just...
Did you study theater? Or?
No, I didn't. I've just been doing theater. I kind of done theater my whole life. So it's kind of what I know how to do, and here I am doing it.
It's your wonderful secret. It's your wonderful secret life.
It is
to be doing that. Good. That's Elizabeth Martin as the young Phyllis. Back to Jake, Jake Schaefer, who's directing this. There's so much Sondheim. There's a lot of things said about Sondheim, that he's an acquired taste, that he requires a certain amount of focus and attention to you. You're going to disagree about the acquired taste?
No, I totally get it.
Yeah.
It stings.
But then once you fall over the edge, you're hopelessly in love, aren't you?
Absolutely. He's in his own column. Yeah. There is no second.
Yeah. And so so therefore, out of all of his work, and it takes so many different characters, he doesn't just crank out the same formulaic show all the time. What's the deal with Follies?
That's the million-dollar question. What is it with Follies? Well, I highly doubt that we could sell tickets for a 4 or 5 weekend run because no one knows the story. That's the whole
including
thing.
Including me.
And it's the most bizarre because some of Sondheim's most recognizable songs globally forever are from Follies. Losing My Mind, I'm Still Here. These are Broadway standards, timeless. And yet everyone knows that they come from a show called Follies and have never heard or seen anything about Follies. Mm-hmm. And that's really why we're so excited to be doing it, even though it's just 3 performances. For us, we have 3 performances.
Back to the acquired taste discussion or the concept of acquired taste, and even the comment I was making to you off mic that he's not formulaic. Is that in a way the problem that an audience member has to come in and kind of figure it out?
Absolutely. Most people don't want to think. They want to escape. Mm-hmm. And I think with Sondheim, you absolutely, I should say Sondheim shows, you can escape, but there is some work required to get through it. And that's where that musicality comes in. If you can just let yourself listen and at the same time let yourself experience, although that intersection is hard, there is no better show to sit through than a Sondheim show.
There's 4 other people in the room. Who wants to come up to a microphone and agree or disagree?
Yeah,
or
come on, challenge.
Second it or
challenge.
Or give your own personal story.
Oh, okay, Henry's coming first. This could go down fast.
Well, I'm going to agree in that. right. Score. Well, and the thing I think particularly about Follies that gets overlooked is because of the way that that Sondheim dips into these earlier styles, it actually becomes a more accessible show than some of his others. Because even if you come into this having never heard the songs before, there's this sensation that you have because it's very much in those styles and that we're familiar with. So really, I think what Sondheim is doing is playing with our expectations, playing with the idea of formulas, so that he breaks them in subtle ways that maybe we don't realize. And I think so much of this show musically is, I feel that the orchestra as a character in the show is pointing out where the characters out in front of us are deluding themselves. Mm. There are lots of moments in the orchestration where you hear something just a little bit out of place that gives you the signal that, oh, they don't really mean this, or they're trying to convince themselves of something.
Yes.
So I think that's, again, a way that Sondheim is able to, even in very accessible styles, still give us that special Sondheimian touch, that edge to it.
Yeah, I think Robbie wants to jump in on this one.
I do. One thing about Follies that is absolutely intriguing is it was one of the first musical theater pieces that, you know, there's that way of thinking like, oh, you go to see a musical and then they walk and talk a little while and then suddenly burst into song. This was one of the first that actually took the drama of what was happening, and it was just a natural evolution to start singing. It is one of the, I'm just saying that, I've got my goosebumps everywhere on my body. The way that it works, I said it before, it's magic. It just, and the audience, this show, the way it's built, it's majestic, it's a masterpiece. The way it's built is that the audience flows right into the song. You don't even know that a song has started. It's just a natural evolution.
I think you're right. I do think that people point to Follies as one of the first book shows.
Yeah.
Book song shows, rather. Dominic Koch, who directed the most recent National Theater production, gives sort of the best line about Follies as far as like a global perspective, to piggyback on what both Henry and Robbie were saying. It's a play about one learning how to deal with oneself and the choices that you've made. And I believe that the only composer that could glue all of that together is a Sondheim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is Sondheim's Follies, which is three nights only. It's Friday night, Saturday night, the classic times of 7:30, and then Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Spokane Civic Theater. And it's always easy to just Google it and figure out how to get tickets and all of the things that we don't even need to say on the air, because you'll do it quicker on your computer to find out how to be able to do that. And yet, at the same time, it's kind of a gutsy project, more than kind of a gutsy project for Civic to be taking on right now, isn't it?
It is very gutsy, and we're all wholeheartedly behind it. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Right. Follies opening Civic this Friday, three performances only, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. What a treat. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.